this is the fastest I've ever written music, and it kind of seemed like I got this download that just dumped out of me. I didn't really feel like I had a choice, if anything. I was just following the instructions that were given to me by a force greater than myself.
Hey, vocalists, Nudia in the afternoon here on 91.1 FM. Right now on the line, we bring to you an interview I'm super excited about. We have Madison McFerrin on with us. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's been a crazy busy year for you. Like, I feel like a lot of insane things have happened to you in your music career within the last couple of months.
This is true. I would agree with that statement.
You've released your sophomore album, Scorpio. Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I do have to say, after listening to the album, I mean, we have a lot to go over. There's a lot happening. After listening to the album, I was curious, why did you decide to name it Scorpio?
So I actually started, or I decided to call it Scorpio before I even finished the project. It was really, for me, something where I was like, this is about me coming into myself. You know, it is a breakup album, but it even more so is about me finding myself and growing. And I'm a Scorpio. And I thought, what better way to kind of embody that than that? And then actually, I learned in the process of making this album that I'm a Scorpio stellium, which is when you have a three or more planets in a sign. So it doesn't have to be your sun sign. It can be any sign. And so it just means that I'm extra Scorpio. So I was like, oh, that fits. And also on top of that, zodiacs have like three phases. Like each one has like, it's kind of like Pokemon. And the third phase of the Scorpio is actually the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Oh
So it
my
kind of
gosh.
All like fit into this theme of, you know, really coming into myself.
I love that. I'm a Gemini.
Hey, I'm a Gemini rising, so.
Really? So I feel like Gemini and Scorpio, as friends, it works well, you know?
Yes, it does.
When we go over this album, it seems like you, I mean, all of your music has always been very raw and real, but it seems like you really opened up this album. Was that a conscious decision, or did you just start creating and you're like, I'm just gonna leave it all on the floor?
Really more so of the latter. Anytime I'm writing music or creating, I really feel like I'm just channeling something from a higher power. And this all flew out of me. This is the fastest I've ever written music and put stuff out. It was really just, it kind of seemed like I got this download that just dumped out of me. So I didn't really feel like I had a choice, if anything. I was just following the instructions that were given to me by a force greater than myself. And I honestly feel like part of my responsibility as an artist, and also just part of my purpose for being here on this planet, is to create art that people can see themselves in. And, you know, heartbreak is pretty universal and has been for quite some time. And nobody is going through these emotions for the first time. We've been around for hundreds of thousands of years. So I just want to be able to be a conduit for those emotions for other people, because I know that it was incredibly helpful in my own grieving process, in my healing process. And so if that can be an outlet for someone else to also grieve and heal and process through my journey, then that's really what I'm aiming to do.
I know when you spoke about making music or putting together albums or projects, you talk about keeping the commuter in mind, because you've done like long commutes through cities. There's nothing more I love than listening to an album and then having to roam around the city. And I've also called off an engagement before. So this
Gang,
album,
gang.
Yeah, this album, this, I was really going through it. When, I mean, I it was, it really hit a lot of the emotions you feel when something like that, a breakup is a breakup, but I feel like an engagement is kind of a different level.
Yeah, totally.
And then, you know, friends are involved, families are involved. There's so many feelings. One of my favorite songs off the album is I Don't, which, funny enough, was co-produced by Willow Smith, right?
Correct.
Oh my gosh, that song. I wish I had that song 6 years ago. I was like, you know what? I needed this song when I broke off my engagement. How did this, I need the tea on this song. I need to know everything about it.
I think this was maybe the second song that I wrote on the album. This was a very clear, I mean, I can only really refer to it as like a download. Like, I remember I had just been in my studio playing around and I left and I'm walking into the kitchen and all of a sudden the "We were supposed to get married today" just like popped up in my head because it was like 2 or 3 days before we were supposed to get married. And I literally turned around and went back into the studio because I was like, I gotta catch this. What is this? And sat down and wrote that song pretty fast. I think I wrote the whole thing in a day. And I remember when I got to the chorus and was like, I guess I don't. I remember being like, ooh, okay. And
That's
just
how
like
I
going
felt
with
too. That's oh,
it.
I felt it.
But yeah, that's, I mean, it was really just like, I got this message and was like, gotta catch it, gotta catch it, gotta do it. And that's definitely one of my favorites off the record for sure.
We were supposed to get married today. Instead, I'm here all alone in a home with no one to call my own. Got me wondering, did I make a mistake? In choosing who to say I do too. 'Cause I guess I. When did Willow come in?
So that I started writing that song or wrote that song in September of 2023, and she and I met in February of 2024. I don't think I'd even really like started recording officially any of the music, but she had hit me up. She's a fan. She wanted to come to a show that I had, and then after the show was like, I'd love to make some music together. And I was like, hell yeah. So like a couple weeks later, she hit me up to meet her in the studio. And actually, like one of the even greater connections from this was her engineer at the time ended up being somebody that I went to college with, who I hadn't seen since college, Zach Brown. And he ended up being my co-producer for the album. So it was like a very kismet situation. But we get to the studio, and I was totally anticipating we were going to make something from scratch. But she asked me if I had any stuff I was working on. And I had just written Run It Back. So I played her Run It Back on the piano. And then I also played her I Don't on the piano. And I had written the guitar parts. Like I would sing it. I would sing the guitar line when I would play it on the piano. And after I finished playing it, she was like, let's do that. And I was like, hell yeah, let's go.
When you first opened the album, Heartbreak Place, I was wondering, does that song serve as kind of like an interlude to the album? That's what it felt like a little bit
I mean,
when
it's
I was
definitely an
listening.
intro. It's like very much meant to paint the time and space that you're going to encounter. Like I really try and I write albums or even not albums, like all of my EPs, even the sh like 3 song ones, like the order is very important to me. Like it's not just haphazard. Like I really am trying to create a full flow with the record, with any record that I make. And Heartbreak, I remember when I wrote it, as soon as I wrote it, I was like, oh, this is the intro to the album. Like I could just hear it, and I really wanted to set the stage for what was about to happen, and I think that that song does it really well.
No, it does. You're like, okay, this is what I'm getting into. We're getting into this right
Right.
now. I see you've said that you self-funded the album with the money you had set aside for your wedding.
Correct. That is correct.
That's crazy. I was like, I feel like I'm on Reddit threads right now.
No, that is absolutely correct. And it similarly, like I can only describe it as I was spiritually guided. Like I was in this space of trying to figure out how I was going to fund this record. I really wanted to finish all of the music and creative myself and then therefore be able to shop it around and have people pick it up if they wanted to. But just I would know that I would have full control over my masters because I finished it. You know, it's not, there's not a label that put up money for me to record this. It's like, no, I did this all myself. And so when I was really racking my brain about how I was going to fund it, all of a sudden I just reminded myself that, you know, there was this money set aside in a high yielding savings account that was meant for this one thing. And I was like, you know what? I think this is actually meant for this project. And so it's a bit of a karmic release. I'm still waiting for it to come back around, but I have full faith that it will do that many times over. But I really believe that that's what that money was meant for at the end of the day.
When we look at your tiny desk, your NPR tiny desk, It was amazing. It was so good.
Thank you
And
so much.
the songs that you hear on the album, like, they just hit even harder. Like that I Don't part that you sang for us hit even harder. I really loved getting to hear Run It Back live that way. It felt like you had a lot of extra feelings put into it. When we talk about Run It Back, I feel like anyone that's been through a breakup could kind of understand this song. It's like, it's like there's nothing here, but we know each other, like we
It's familiar.
Did you write this and produce it on your own?
Yeah, I mean, all of the songs I wrote and produced, the only one that I didn't write the production, like on the piano, was Ain't It Nice. Julius Rodriguez and Maddie St. John came in with that beat, mostly fleshed out, but I rearranged some stuff and then wrote everything else on top of it. But Run It Back was one of those. I actually wrote it the night before I left to go to Japan, and I remember sitting down, and that Run It Back might be the fastest song I wrote on the record. I think I wrote it in an hour, with the exception of like one line. I kept like one line took me like a month to actually figure out what the right way to say it was, but I loved it so much. It was just really one of those things where I was my last relationship, I was in it for 8.5 years. So like this is the first time I'm single in my adult life, truly. And that feeling of just like familiarity and, wanting something that, you shouldn't have, I think is very common. I think many people can understand the idea of wanting to spin the block, even though they know they shouldn't. And for the record, I did not. For the record, I did not. But yeah, I really love that song, and Corey Henry is playing on it. I was gonna do it just myself at first, but Corey hit me up the day I was going into the studio, and I was like, "Get your ass over here right now." And he did such an incredible job. And then my band on the Tiny Desk, they did an incredible job too. And similarly to I Don't, I had the idea for the call and response at the end while I was in my kitchen. I have a lot of thoughts while I'm in my kitchen, clearly.
It must be a beautiful, airy space. That's
Well,
what I'm imagining.
I don't know about beautiful. It's usually messy, but I do love to cook, so maybe that's where the other inspiration is coming from. But I remember just thinking about that call and response and being like, that's how I'm gonna tie it in. And also, it's a little nod to my dad. He's kind of like the master of call and response. And you don't really hear a lot of that happening in the Tiny Desk space. And I really wanted to invite the audience into that. And I think, I mean, it turned out even better than I could have possibly imagined. And I know that so much of that is because of my band as well. They're so incredible, Chicago based. So the Chicago show is gonna be on one.
Oh no, that's exciting. Yeah, your Chicago show, by the way, October 23rd at Lincoln Hall.
First day of Scorpio season.
I was just gonna say when my sister's birthday is the 24th. When is the B-day?
November 4th.
Oh, okay, you're November Scorpio.
I am tried and true.
It's funny you bring up your father. I mean the famous Bobby McFerrin, singer-songwriter. I mean, your family has such a deep history in music. I was curious, as seeing you talk about your family a little bit in the Tiny Desk, and when I was listening to the album, do you like put out a project and your family, you're like, here's my album, guys.
No, I let them hear it beforehand. I play it for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I do. And especially my dad, because he has ideas.
Aw.
And mostly when I talk to my dad about it, I'm looking for vocal arrangement advice or just different ideas. But no, I always play stuff for my parents beforehand, for my family. I mean, especially my big brother Taylor. He's such an instrumental influence in my life musically, not just in what he does, but like in helping curate my music taste, because he's 10 and a half years older than me. So like from the time I was very little, he was trying to put me on. So I'm always playing stuff for him, like very early versions, just to get his thoughts, especially since he's a producer. You know, there are things that he can hear that I am not as privy to, but I think sharing is important. I used to be pretty freaked out by it, not as much with my family, but just with other people in general before things were done. But I think that, you know, having insight from your community only makes things better.
Yeah, you speak about your older brother Taylor, who like produced like, an EP in 2019. You guys worked on stuff together. I was curious because in your tenure, you said you had two brothers, right?
Correct.
And so I was gonna say, are they both like, so Taylor also works in music. Does your other brother, is he musically inclined? I was just wondering if there's anyone in the family that's not musically inclined, that's like, I can't sing.
No, that is not the case. There is not any. Well, my mom can't sing, but you know, but she has great taste in music. My brother Javon, he's the middle. He's an actor, but he's also been on Broadway. He was in a little show called Hamilton as
Oh my
Hamilton.
gosh. Wow.
Yeah, so he's very talented, and but his passion is acting. But he can sing. He can sing very well. But his number one has always been acting. So we're all in the arts.
So karaoke night goes hard in the
You
McFerrin house.
know, we just do our own karaoke. We just sing little jingles. Although my nephew did just get a karaoke machine, so that's probably going to
I know in your Tiny Desk as well, you said that all the other siblings you guys have had more than one engagement in your life.
My dad and my two older brothers and I have all been engaged once prior to our finding our people, and now we're all married, so
Oh my gosh, that's funny. I mean, I love the lore. I love the tea that was dropped in the Tiny Desk. Again, if you are just tuning in, we have Madison McFerrin on, coming to town October 23rd, playing at Lincoln Hall. Sophomore album Scorpio is out now. Speaking of all the things happening, we kind of have to touch before we end this interview on the Tyler the Creator collab. I mean, the collab. We all were like, oh my gosh. I know when we were listening to Tyler's project in the office, we're like, oh my gosh, we saw you credited. This song is so awesome. It's kind of something I wouldn't really expect from Tyler, which I kind of love. How did you guys link up? Or did you run into each other and like, we need to do something together?
Girl, this was so crazy, and all the fact that this has happened so fast. So the first interaction was he reposted, or he shared my Ain't It Nice video in his story. He didn't tag me or anything. I had a bunch of people all of a sudden just hit me up being like, Tyler's in your, like, put you in his story. And I was like,
Oh my
what? And
gosh.
I love Tyler. I've been a Tyler fan since, you know, Odd Future. And I just think he's so creative and is such an incredible artist, you know, not just a rapper, lyricist, producer. You know, like I think that him as an artist is really inspiring to see. And so, you know, I saw that from a distance that he'd posted that. I was like, that's really awesome. And then I think 2 months later, I got a DM from him just being like, hey, I think I need your help. And I was like, say less. And we had a FaceTime chat. He was on the road. He was like, when I get back in town, I love to do stuff in person. So he got back in town. We went into the studio, banged it out. Like 6 weeks later, he announces that he's releasing a project. And I was like, what? Am I on this? What's happening? And then I did not find out that I was on the album until the release party the night before it dropped. And I got there, and the engineer, when he hugged me, he said, congratulations. And I was like, oh my God, okay, I guess this is happening. But Tyler is really cool. Like he's a really cool guy. We had a really fun time in the studio. I only have wonderful things to say about him.
I mean, I was gonna say, if you had to keep it under wraps, was it difficult? But it sounds like you were surprised as well. Like you were
Well, no,
just
I
like,
mean,
oh.
I had to keep it under wraps because I, you know, and it wasn't even a thing where like somebody told me explicitly, like, you can't say anything, but like, I just know how Tyler operates and people of that stature. You know, I wasn't trying to like, I didn't take any pictures while I was there or anything. Like, I was like, I'm not trying to mess up in any regard, you know? So, like, I definitely kept it under wraps. I only told a very small handful of people that I'd even recorded a song. I didn't even hear the full song until the release party. He had sent me a voice note of him listening to the song. I didn't even know it was done. You know, we had talked like 2 weeks before it came out about him being like, oh, let's record some other stuff on top. You know, like my team was like, he just put out this album a year ago. Like, this song probably isn't going to come out for a few months. And it was like 6 weeks. So it was, thankfully, I didn't have to keep the secret for very long.
Wow, yeah, no, some fandoms they look for crumbs, any little crumb of any new music
Right.
they could get. Thank you so much, Madison,
Oh,
for
no, thank you for having
speaking
me.
with us today. All the info on the new album, which we love, and we can't wait to see you when you come to Lincoln Hall.
Yes, I can't wait to be there. It's actually going to be the only show where background vocalists are also on it. So, you know, just watch that Tiny Desk. That's what you're going to get a little preview of. So you definitely got to come through.
Of course, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This segment was hosted and produced by Nudia Hernandez. It was edited by Morgan Sioka. Keep up with Vocalo on Instagram @Vocalo or on TikTok @Vocalo.radio.